Services, you know, we had said that we are talking from the subject of the rewards of righteous commitment. That's what we've been talking about on Sunday nights, the rewards of righteous commitment. We've been talking about mainly the commitment to our relationships. We had said that there are three areas of your life where where quality of life would be made different with these righteous commitments. In these three areas where we have commitments are in our resources, in our responsibilities, in our relationships. We looked at relationships and different kinds of relationships. Our relationships can be domestic relationships, kingdom relationships, business, friendship, and casual. And we began to talk about kingdom relationships first because we said we understand that if we get these kingdom relationships right, then all these other relationships would fall in line. We looked at the book of Proverbs 11:30. We saw that he that winneth souls is wise. We began to talk about church membership and saw that it is the order of God for people to be members of local churches. And then we said that there are there are 12 commitments of a faithful member that we would discuss. That first commitment of a faithful member, you must be in intimate fellowship with renegade Christians. You know, you in fellowship, but you don't want to adopt their ways. There's a number of symptoms of renegade Christians, and I've said that I would talk about them sometimes. But then the second commitment was to submit yourself to the vision of that particular church. Just because one church doesn't do everything another church does doesn't mean that it's off, because you know, different pastors have specific assignments from God. That third commitment of a faithful member, we must make spiritual growth the primary reason for church membership. That's the primary reason for becoming a member of a church, so that you can grow spiritually. There may be other things that are benefits that will happen. Might hook up your business, your business relationships might be hooked up, might find a mate, but that should not be the main reason that you become a member of a church. Main reason you become a member of a church is should be for spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is enhanced by a focus on the Word of God and your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We said that you fellowship with the Holy Spirit by being filled with the Holy Spirit and having a regimen of praying with other tongues. So you'll be filled with the Spirit by meditating the Word of God, doing the Word of God, being led by the Spirit of God, and rejoicing and making melody in your heart. That fourth commitment of a faithful member is to make a commitment to live a holy life. To live a holy life. We said from Romans the first chapter, that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. That's how that power and that's how that gladness stays in your life. Having this consciousness of known sin that's not being dealt with, it'll cause a compromise in your peace and in your gladness. So when that gladness barometer is off, check and see if there's something that your heart is being grieved about. If you assure your heart before God, Scripture says, whatever you ask, you will receive from Him. You receive from God when you're walking in this holiness. Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness above His fellows because He hated iniquity, and He loved righteousness. So this commitment to live a holy life and keep the other bad stuff out of your life, this is how you walk in the power of God. This is how that gladness is there. We said in Romans 1:4 that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. And then that brought us to this fifth commitment of a righteous, of a faithful member. And that commitment is to aggressively bring people into the kingdom of God. That's a commitment. You live out your purpose on earth, and the church is living out its purpose in the earth when it makes a priority things that are a priority to God. When you make what's important to God important to you, then things work best. See, God knows everything. He opens his purse to you when you make what's important to him important to you. Your heart can receive from God when you have assured your heart before God that you're keeping the commandments. All of the commandments in the whole Bible are fulfilled in a person's life when they're walking in love. The scripture says there's no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. It's okay to lay down your life for your friend, because that's no greater love than that. And when you're fulfilling this love commandment, all the blessings are yours. God adds to you when you put in first place finding out how God wants you to do things and doing it that way. Put in first place in your life this purpose that he has us here. We still can have all these things that we desire added to us. So it's no loss. It's okay to commit the things that are important to you to God and adopt first place this mentality of aggressively bringing other people into a better life, sharing the love of God and bringing them into the kingdom of God. So let's turn in your Bible to the book of Proverbs, the 30th chapter. The 11th chapter and the 30th verse. Proverbs 11 and 30. We looked at this recently, and we'll just start right here tonight. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls. See, winneth there implies some purposeful effort, not just a casual effort. Winneth souls, this is talking about strategically, on purpose, winning souls with some purposeful effort. It's not some casual approach. And the test, sometimes you can ask yourself, well, we ask the question, who did I pursue intentionally to bring them into the kingdom of God? What conversation, when the Spirit of God prompted me, what conversation did I flow into to investigate a person's standing with the Lord? It might was a nice person, but that really doesn't count. That Mike was a very diligent person, but that really doesn't count. The Spirit of God is on your side, and he's working with you while you work with him with this purpose consciousness in your mind. Yes, I am going to diligently work at my job. I am going to use my gifts, but I want to have this consciousness of aggressively bringing other people into the kingdom of God. The question would be asked, what are some main reasons that saints hesitate in this area? And if we can address those reasons, then we can be more apt to flow in this love and compassion of successfully bringing people into the kingdom of God. True success is when you have success in all parts of your life. Balanced success. Success in your finances. Success in your other relationships. Success in this area of actually successfully bringing people into the kingdom of God and helping them to have a better life. Now, Romans, the 10th chapter. We turned to Romans, the 10th chapter, when we first began. You see that Romans, the 10th chapter, addresses this lordship factor. One reason is settling on this lordship factor. When Jesus became the Lord of our life, we really gave up the right to make decisions aside from God's purpose for us. This ninth verse says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So you say, we confess with our mouth that the Lord, that Jesus is the Lord. Lord means owner. Lord means boss. Lord means the ruler. And look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. All the gifts that God has given you and me, all the talents that God has given to you and me. Did you notice that God didn't tell us how to win the souls, win people, to win souls? He didn't tell us how. He told us when. He told us where to go. He told us who to go to. You remember? Go ye. He told us you go. And see, as you go to and fro. He told you who to go to? All the world. He told you when to go? Now. But he didn't tell you how. All the gifts and all the creativity, all the talents that God has given to you and me have been given over to you and me so that we can glorify God with those gifts. We said the other night that it's a shame to pray and ask God to help us get jobs and to help us get advancements and help us to finish college and help us to pass these tests and then not use that success to advance the kingdom of God. But those gifts has been given over to you so that you can use them creatively, strategically, and purposefully to win souls. I mentioned the last time I stood before you on another night, Wednesday night, I talked about how that I had gifts and talents, and I guess I still do, and I was about to use them to win a huge Greek show. I believe we would have won. I really do. We looked good. We danced good. We tapped our canes good. I mean, we were there were so many anointed people in that place. I tell you why there were so many anointed people. When I peeled away and I told them I can't do it, they said, "What's wrong with you, Mark Tatton?" I said, "I just the Lord been dealing with me. I don't supposed to use my gifts and talents. I don't see where that's going to glorify God." And so I didn't do it that night. But, you know, I just counted after that. One, two, there was one minister after another. People who became ministers around town. Ministers, pastors, another pastor. I saw one today, another pastor. They came out of that. They followed me. Somebody's watching you. Amen. And who knows? See, it was in my case. It wouldn't have been, you know, we wasn't doing anything wrong per se. It was, you know, clean and everything. And I noticed that when I would sing, women would cry. They would actually weep. Girls would just weep. That was anointing. All your gifts has been given over to you for you to use for the kingdom of God. It's a shame for us to advance and pray and graduate cum laude. Thank you, Lordy. But however, and then not use those advancements for the kingdom of God. Have you all found 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter? Now let me read it like Paul apparently meant it. You know, we read it and we sometimes don't read it like, we read it like somebody said, "What? No, no." Can you imagine saying in a conversation, said, "What? No, you're not. No, Paul probably said, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The influence that's on your life, that belongs to God. It's been given over to you, the gifts and the talents and the abilities. Yes, you have gifts that are waiting to be discovered and used for the benefit of others, but it should glorify God. You and I are bought with a price, and we can't call our own shots. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But it's okay, because we serve a benevolent, good King. Amen. He is responsible for everything about your life. Every bill, every desire that he put in your and my life, God is responsible for taking care of you. Amen. And when your heart is assured before God, everything you ask him, you receive it. It's not him, not given. Your heart has to receive what God has given. You receive by faith. God is not the problem. It's our heart being assured before God that just like he can depend on me, I can depend on him. To the degree that I know he can depend on me, that is the degree that my heart is assured before God. The scripture says, faith, my faith that caused me to overcome, works by love. If my heart is assured that Jesus is Lord, to the degree that my heart is assured before God, that's the degree I can receive from God. Amen. And so I'm the one. My heart is what's receiving. God is a giver. God reigns on the just as well as the unjust. Amen. Glory to God. Now, he's gracious. He's good to all. It's the receiving. But the receiving is done by faith. Faith works by love. And there's no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friend. The reason that you're on this earth is to exist for the benefit of others. Amen. If your heart knows that when you wake up in the morning, the Spirit of God will help you creatively meet people's needs, creatively cause other people's lives to be enhanced. If the focus is on that, you will live a fulfilled life. Amen. If the focus is on putting your purpose beyond your own self, God will add to you the things that you could have been having first place in your life. He that winneth souls is wise. Amen. So we are bought with a price. Now, why? What seems to be, what is some of the reason? We're going to address some of those reasons. Why is it that sometimes saints have difficulty in this area? Number one. The trick of thinking that they don't qualify because of undeveloped areas in their lives. The trick of thinking, well, maybe because, you know, how would I look telling somebody else about the Lord and I don't have myself all together yet? If I have this obvious deficit in my life, how would I look trying to tell somebody? Wouldn't this hurt my witness? If God had to wait for people to get everything right, he wouldn't have anybody, would he? You know, that's a trick. Well, you know, as soon as I get myself together, then I could be a powerful witness because, you know, my witness has lost all this power because my life is not together yet. My life is in shambles, and I know I'm saved, and I love the Lord, but some things is not straight in my life. As soon as I get myself worked out, I don't want to be no hypocrite, you know, because I didn't ever like to be a hypocrite. As soon as I get myself together, you know, sounds pretty reasonable, doesn't it? But, you know, as I said the other day, it doesn't matter how marred a traffic light is. It don't have to be all that polished. It could be all rusted. But as long as it can turn red and green, people can still fulfill its purpose. As long as people can read it. The stop sign. It could be, you know, BB guns. Y'all remember those BB guns? You throw rocks, it could not be out. But if you can still read stop, it'll still fulfill its purpose. All God wants is a mouth, a life, and somebody who's willing to give your testimony. God can do the rest. He doesn't need you to be altogether manifested perfect. God made you able and he equipped you And God has qualified you to be an effective witness, even though your life is not together yet. God don't have to wait until you, all he needs is some communication comes. If people can read the stop sign, it'll fulfill its purpose. It don't have to be polished. Just people can read it. And you have a mouth and you have a witness. You know something that God, and you have what it takes to be an effective witness. Let's look, turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, the first chapter. Acts, the church, first chapter. So that trick, it's a trick of thinking that they don't qualify because of undeveloped areas of their lives. That's one reason that saints have a challenge in just freely witnessing, just freely winning people, or just being effective. The demoniac man who Jesus cast those devils out, about 2,000 of them, and they went into swines and choked themselves in the river. That one man's testimony, He went to the 10 Decapolis, it's a place, 10 cities. That one man's testimony got those people coming from Decapolis and filled a room up where Jesus was. That one man's testimony. They probably said, aren't you the man? He said, yes, he was. I was. Yes, that was me. But Jesus cleaned me up. Glory to God. Amen. Kenneth Copeland used to preach to people while he was on bar stools drunk, drinking. Amen. I've been late for appointments. That didn't stop me from preaching. Well, Pastor, you know, that's just being late. No, that's not perfect. If I'm supposed to be there at 5 o'clock, I'm supposed to be darkening the door sometime at 5 o'clock or before. And Satan will use anything. He said, see, ain't you a pretty thing? See, your shoe's not shining. See? Yeah, well, sir, that's just a little. Well, okay, let's look at Acts, the first chapter and the 8th verse. Amen. Get your thinking right. God has made you qualified. See, watch. But you shall receive power, after which the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in and unto the utmost parts of the earth. You see? That's the promise. You shall receive power, and you shall be a witness. When? After you get yourself together? No. After you get enough, you know, how many letters do you have to have? How much theology do you have to learn in order to be qualified? No. After which you receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. How many people have received the Holy Spirit to dwell in you? Amen. Amen. So you qualify, don't you? According to the scripture, you qualify to have God's best and to live in God's best. Romans 5. You have what it takes. I have what it takes. We walk by faith, not by sight. Satan is the god of this world. That scripture in 2 Corinthians 4:4 calls Satan the god of this world. That means he's the god of this sense realm. He's the god of this feeling realm. You cannot afford to live your life based on your feelings or your emotions or how you feel because of things, people, how they make you feel. You cannot live your life successfully according to your feelings or according to your senses. Satan can contact everything about your senses, but we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Now, Romans 5:5, that scripture in Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Why? What's so significant about the Holy Spirit? Romans 5:5. Let's read it together. Ready? Read. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That love is in your heart. It's not in your feelings. It's not in your emotions. It's not a feeling love. It may produce feeling, but you have what it takes to be an effective witness. And this commitment, the commitment to aggressively bring other people into the kingdom of God, That's one of the main commitments of a faithful member. This second reason, a sense of shame. A sense of shame or embarrassment because of misguided views of what it means to be a Christian. How many of y'all pray the same way in public, listen, among people who are not born again, out in public when you're about to eat? Or do you do one of those headache prayers? One of those headache prayers. No. Yeah. I'm finna eat. Wait a minute. I'm going to pray. I don't know what those people are doing in their kitchen. I've heard some horror stories about restaurant kitchens. I'm going to pray. And I'm not going to pray a headache prayer. I ain't ashamed. I'm going to pray over this food. Glory to God. And y'all got to stop all those jokes. Wait a minute. I don't like all that clinging. Be quiet. Stop clinging. I got to pray. Be quiet while I pray. Father, thank you. And if I eat any deadly thing, it won't hurt me. The life of a saint is not being a life of a wimp. Amen. And sometimes the reason for hesitation is a sense of shame or embarrassment because misguided views of what it means to be a Christian. But you know who you are. Amen. You make the difference. People want to find somebody who believes something, who can stand for something. There's something that's just about seeing somebody who just all out about something. Just have a spine. Just believe what you believe. Don't be wishy-washy because people don't respect you if they... But just be proud. Just be glad. Glory to God. Yeah. You're part of that name it, claim it bunch. Yeah. If God has named something, I ought to claim it. I mean, if his blood has purchased it, what would I... No. I'm delivered from the power of darkness. I don't believe in sickness. Glory to God. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in poverty. I don't believe in being shamed. Amen. I witnessed to someone. They wrote me a letter. This year. Can y'all believe that? It's some silly. Okay. They wrote me a letter rebuking me for witnessing to folk at their party. You poor little... Yeah. I said, oh, glory to God. The glory of God must be manifested. Whenever that happens, the glory of God is upon you. Whenever that happens, darkness is smelling light. There is a savor of righteousness, and it smells like death to death, but it smells like light to light. People who are around you and they have something wrong, demonic, attached to their consciousness, they get nervous when your name is mentioned. So the glory of God is upon you. Don't be embarrassed about God. Amen. I'm proud of God. I'm glad to be saved, aren't y'all?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I had enough. Didn't you have enough beanless? You didn't get saved because you was trying to get in something bad, did you? You came into something good. It's good to be saved. Amen. So get used to it. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you're real, my brother, I have a brother in business. His name is Melvin. He does pretty good. He's a good manager. He said, Don, most of the time, the difference between a real good manager and a manager that don't do well in business is managers who do well, they do things, they make decisions, and they follow through, and they do it while they have that scared feeling in their stomach. He said, a sign that you're doing something right is you get that little scared feeling in your stomach. He said, but when that's there and you know up here that it's the right thing to do, a sign that it really is the right thing to do is just before you do it, you get this scared feeling. He said, when you do that, he said, that's the difference between a good manager and a manager that's not a good manager. Because managers don't follow through. They wimps when that little fear make them Just let little things just keep going on. Just let it keep on going by. They knew it was wrong. They knew it was wrong, but they just let it go by. He said a business don't stay well like that. For instance, when in today our there was Joshua brought something up to me today. He mentioned something to me. It was a little thing, but you can't keep on letting it go on because this is the business of God. You can't just keep on letting little things go by. You can't let, oh, it's just a, no. You set a standard and you achieve it and then you hold your course. Come on, somebody. Shout hallelujah. Woo! See, because you are not just winning souls to the kingdom of God. Once you come into a church, you are helping to evangelize people from one place of spiritual development to another. So if you're sweeping the floor, do a good job at it because somebody needs to see a neat floor. And you do the very best with what you have. That's why we're doing some things in that room. And we walked in there. What are all these lights doing dark? Let's change all the lights. And you make those bold steps. Made a phone call. Come on. Made a phone call. Because I need some no lights. Every one of those lights need to be changed. Why? Because this is the kingdom of God. Made a phone call. Got to do it. Just like witnessing. Just like you open your mouth when you're there. You're doing the right thing when you get that fear. Because the devil is afraid that you're going to snatch another one. Hey! It's like when you make a decision. I am free. And the devil said, don't do that. You can't do without this. You got to have this habit. Don't profess it out loud. Because how are you going to go on without this habit? But when you just stand and say, I am free in Jesus' name, the devil runs from you. So I make the phone call. Got that little thing in my stomach. And yes, I'll pay for all of them. I said, thank you very much. Go on forward. Make a step. You got to stretch. Stretch. Go on out on the water. In the Bible, water means people. Go on out on the water. It's waters out there waiting for somebody to have enough courage to walk on the water. And if you feel like you're sinking, you got to be close enough to Jesus. If Jesus reached for him and caught Peter, Peter could have just stretched and caught Jesus. Hallelujah. If you do it, God said, whatever you ask, I'll give it to you. If you go, win souls, just bring people into the kingdom and make sure that you are involved in somehow helping people who are born again have an environment where they can grow by your work in the ministry. God said, whatever you ask, he'll give it to you. And he's given it, but then the difference is you have assured your heart. God, what's important to you is important to me. So everything that's important to me, I can receive it because my heart is assured. Faith works by love. There's no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friend. I read that about many years before I even started in ministry. And when God made it clear what I'm supposed to be doing in life, he said, I've told you a long time ago. And he brought that scripture. There's no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. If you lay down your life, you don't have to be behind a pulpit, but if you put what God wants first and you let your life be a place where God can use as a clearinghouse of words that'll get to people, there's no greater love than that. And when you're doing that, the law is fulfilled in your life. Hallelujah. Is this making sense to anybody? Amen. Fear of rejection. They might reject you. Don't be thinking that it's going to carry over into other areas of your life. They just rejecting the message. They're not rejecting you. Amen. Stand up to your feet. That's just three reasons.